All right, it's now time to go to the expert hotline here on the podcast as we continue to highlight games of the week here in Ivy League play, not only for the men's side, but for women's basketball, of course. And this weekend, Columbia women are on the road as they take on Princeton Friday evening, 5:30 tip-off in New Jersey. Then at the Palestra Saturday night or Saturday evening, 4:30 tip-off against the Quakers. And joining us here on the line is the head coach of Columbia women's basketball, Meg Griffith, joining us. Coach, thank you for the time. How are you?
I'm fine. It's great to be on. Excited for the weekend.
Last year, you know, you guided the team to program history, like 10-3. And I found a quote from you that said, it was nice to win all those games last year, but we didn't build good habits. And then when referring to your non-conference this year, you said this year, the hope is we get beat up a little bit, fight back, and learn how to win some challenging games. So can you talk to us about the scheduling and if that panned out?
Definitely. I think for us last year, our strength of schedule and RPI were on the lower end. And for me, it was, it didn't get us any better, get us ready for what we needed to face in Ivy League play. When, you have our league's gotten so much better since even when I played, 11 years ago. And now
can I just interrupt, Meg, when you said you weren't very good? I'm pretty sure you beat me at Loyola our senior year. So if that says anything about the Greyhounds.
Oh, no, Jill, no. I mean, we played in high school, too.
Oh, I know. Before we went on air, I told Brett that you've beaten me at every level of everything, going back to AAU in high school. So,
we inherited that schedule, and, you're going to take your hits, and, you got to ride that out. And so to design the schedule this year, it was really important to me to make sure we were battle-tested and, winning 10, 11 games and not having – the competition we need to get ready and prepare us does you a disservice. And for me, it didn't give us what we needed. So this year, losing games to good teams, getting beat up a little bit, I do think we're definitely ready and primed to, battle with some teams, especially leading into this weekend when you have 1-2 picks in preseason polls. I'm happy with, where we are. Obviously every coach is going to, have their, the things that they harp on, and this past 9 days leading up to tomorrow, we've really kind of tried to just stick to what we do well and be us and get ready.
Can you tell us some of the things you just talked about, losing to great teams? So your team went out to the Cancun tournament. You played Green Bay, Mississippi State, and Arizona State. Obviously all three tough opponents. Is it hard going into a tournament knowing you're facing that? Or, were you able to get the lessons learned and like you said, be battle tested from those teams?
Yeah, I mean, of course, I went into that tournament with a complete open mind. I even told our team, I'm like, if this is what you want, if you want to play with the big girls, we have to play the big girls. That's the mindset we need, and we can't be afraid to play anybody. And that's what I told Green Bay. I remember after the game, I'm like, you teach teams so much about what they need to work on because of how hard you play. That's why I was so psyched for that game. I would play them every year if I could.
Right.
I just think they teach you so much about your holes. And then Mississippi State, we played with for 25, 27 minutes, and that was, I think, really exciting for our girls to see that, anything can happen in the game of basketball, and it's really just about, how you come together, how you prepare, executing a game plan. And then Arizona State, gave us a ton of pressure, and they throw 9 bodies at you that can just go, go, go. And for us to see that with a young point guard, a freshman, she handled that really well. And I thought that, we didn't come away with any we didn't come away with a win, but, it was one of those situations where I do think that, getting those 3 losses and bouncing back, and then we won 5 of our next 6. So I think we did grow from that.
Meg Griffith, the head coach of Columbia women's basketball, joining us here on the podcast. And Meg, your second season at the helm, roaming the sidelines at Columbia, and obviously first season, a lot of ups and downs. What were some of the biggest lessons you learned from your first go around as a head coach, and have you changed any approach differently or any game prepping differently? How have you handled year 2 here as compared to your first season, which I'm sure was a whirlwind from being hired and all the way to the end of the season?
Yeah, I think you can just, you process things a little bit better in year 2 and year 3, and every year it gets easier, but that doesn't mean that you don't obsess on things anymore or any less. I think that for me, we still have a lot of habits to build here. When you invent a culture, when you build a culture, it's something that doesn't happen in a season. And you need continuity in terms of people. And, you know, our freshmen are really going to carry the brunt of that. And our sophomores still have them for all 4 years. But I think the things that have been easier is, you know, one, I really trust my staff. I love the dynamic that we have. I feel like we're on the same page, and they make me better, which is good because then I can delegate and really let them handle things and trust that they're getting what they need to do with their positional groups and such. So I think that trust level of trust is just the thing that's really helped me grow and focus on the things that I need to, you know, when we're in this part of the season and really getting, you know, into the meat of our games.
Moving back to your non-conference schedule, what was it like to have a win over, you know, your first program win over an ACC opponent? You beat Boston College. It was Education Day. There was over 2,000 fans there. What was that experience like?
Yeah, you know, it's wonderful. It's awesome. It's amazing to have that many people and young people with that to be in your gym at 11 a.m., like, rocking totally, like, you can't hear yourself
sing. High-pitched screams.
I mean, literally, they're screaming at everything. Like, I think they did here. Last year, it did not matter who scored or which team was winning. I was like, you know, this year, I told our marketing department, I'm like, you better get them to cheer for the blue uniforms. So it was awesome, you know. And the game really becomes a player's game when you have that kind of environment. So coming off of Cancun and going right into that game, there's only so much I can do, you know, in that environment. So that's the style we're trying to play, is let the thinking on the court really take over, and we get to make adjustments at the breaks. So I thought it was a really good team win. We had Maya Sampleton had a huge game for us and stepped up and hit some big shots, which got our momentum back for us. But yeah, it was great coming off Cancun and getting that ACC win.
Someone we have to mention, I mean, what is it like to coach Camille Zimmerman? I just read, which, by the way, I really enjoy your social media and your Twitter and Instagram, because I feel like I get informed. And I just was able to see that she's leading the Ivy in six categories, including points per game, points, field goals, free throws, rebounds, and double-doubles. So, I mean, as a first-year and second-year head coach, what is it like coaching a player of her caliber?
Yeah, Camille is, I think she's going to be one of the best offensive players to ever play in our league by the time she graduates. And, you know, it's amazing to be able to walk into a program and not only have the best player be very talented, but to buy in and completely trust you. Camille is such a coach's player. You know, she's literally texts me, "Coach, we have breakfast club tomorrow," every night. She's always asking for film. She's dying to be coached and so hungry and willing to adjust. And she can take the heat, which, you know, it's special when your best player can do that. So for me, it's made my job a lot of fun, you know, inheriting that. I wish I was the one that recruited her, but, you know, I can't take credit for that.
You can reap the benefits.
Exactly. But, you know, for our staff and just where we're trying to move forward, she has absolutely, like I said, bought into everything we're trying to accomplish, and she's really moved the needle forward for this program.
Head coach of Columbia women's basketball, Meg Griffith, joining us here on the program. And coach, this weekend you're obviously on the road, and tough matchups going up against Princeton and Penn. Now, going up against Princeton obviously must be a little bit more for you, going up against your former boss and Courtney Banghart. You were an assistant at Princeton. I'm sure it was a little bit more hyped up, or maybe a little bit nerves. Maybe you can correct me, in the first meeting, but I'm sure this go around here, having already gotten it out of the way, it'll be business as usual for you and your crew.
Yes, I would say that, you know, always going back home to, like, that my 6 year home, it was great. There's a lot of feelings for me, but when the ball tips, like, honestly, I am totally in the zone. It's like, I feel like I'm a player again. I don't really hear anything or see anything or know where I am. It's just the game and our team. So, yeah, I think that just the comfort level of having year one under our belt, and knowing, you know, who we are a little bit more, it's going to be, like you said, business as usual this year.
Working under Courtney Banghart, what are some things, you know, in terms of when you're now the head of a program creating a culture, are the takeaways, you know, I'm sure there are things that are like, I'm not going to do it this way, but I'm sure there are things that this is how, you know, I want to do things. What can you share, some things that Courtney has taught you in terms of being a head coach?
Yes. Courtney, I think, is an excellent recruiter. And I think that she does a really good job getting the team to take care of one another. I think those two things I learned very early and completely permeated throughout the time I was there. You know, I think she does a great job getting, like I said, the team to invest in one another, invest in, into the culture, and they're bought in. You know, she gets people to support them, be around them, creates a village for a team. And that was, you know, that along with, like I said, the recruiting piece and how important that is, I think were the two major things I've learned from Courtney.
Can you kind of give us your game plan, you know, or scout versus Penn and versus Princeton, kind of what your offensive, you know, keys would be and defensive keys would be for each opponent?
Yeah, you know, two teams that they play very different styles. You know, they both have, you know, Penn's obviously going to be a post-dominant team. You know, their two leading scorers being 43 and 31. And it's for them, you know, it's going to be neutralizing those guys, also getting them to play in a little bit of faster-paced game. You know, Penn likes to slow the game down, playing their 2-3. So for us, just kind of stick to the game plan in terms of how we're going to defend their inside game and then also limit clean looks for the perimeter players. You know, push pace, like I said, on the offensive end, you know, and just run our stuff. I think it's a game where, you know, we can get them to play more man-to-man. You just got to do and execute what we need to on the defensive end and go from there. But with Princeton, you know, I think they're a really talented team as well. You know, both of these teams are well coached and established coaches, you know, too. So they have something going. They play a certain style. They don't really stray from that too much. But with Princeton, you know, Allery's having a really special year. I mean, there's no question she's a special player. And then, you know, Leslie Robinson, I think, is truly their heart and kind of and their soul, you know, in terms of what they do. She makes a lot of decisions for them. She leads the team in assists. And they got a nice little point guard. So for us, I think it's going to be neutralizing the three of them, making sure that, again, we stick to our defensive game plan. And we're just smart on the offensive end in terms of execution and making sure that, you know, we don't play in just their style and their pace, that we control as much as we can.
And Meg, can you share with the listeners about, again, I still need to wrap my brain around the back-to-backs. So do you prepare for the opponents, you know, do you prepare for one in the beginning of the week and then the other in the, you know, tail end of the week? Or are you simultaneously going over their concepts throughout the week?
Yeah, so this week for us, since we had more prep time coming off of our Hampton game, we've had 9 days now, we've gotten to take an earlier look at these guys. But typically in a back-to-back, you know, doubleheader weekend, we'll focus earlier in the week on our Saturday opponent and try to see what are the commonalities as well, so you can kind of mix some things in those days. And you know, Tuesday, Wednesday might be more of a shared day, and then you really shift focus towards the end of Wednesday, Thursday on your Friday opponent. That's how we've been handling things.
Gotcha. Okay, you made it. That's the end of the podcast questions. But before we let you go, I have this little thing I like to call rapid fire. And so it's kind of, I'm just going to ask you some questions and you can, you know, give me what pops into your head after I ask. Does that make sense?
Great.
Okay.
Yeah.
First up, describe yourself in one word.
Intense.
How would your team describe you in one word?
Intense.
That's good. It's consistent. What is your biggest pet peeve?
Laziness.
What's your favorite pizza topping?
Mushrooms.
What's the last song you listened to?
It was a love song. It was called like something in Paris. I can't remember. It was on my Spotify.
Nice. What about you? What's your favorite emoji?
Oh, it's the wink.
Nice. Last one. Favorite Netflix show.
Oh, right now I'm watching Mad Men, so I'm going to go with that.
One quick question before we let you go. I just have to ask you about the 4 overtime game last year, because here in Dartmouth.
That was your first Ivy win, right?
It was, yeah.
Because Jill and I were doing the broadcast, of course, on the Ivy League Network, and that was just one of the craziest games I've ever seen. And just can you describe the emotions, the up and down of that contest, and to get your first Ivy win in one of the longest games in women's basketball history.
And it was on SportsCenter.
That had to be pretty darn cool.
Yeah. I mean, it was totally an emotional roller coaster. I mean, you know, you go into that game, both of us were hungry for a win. It was a dog fight. You know, I don't think neither Bell nor myself would say we played perfectly, right? So it was just to see two teams battle that hard in our league just goes to show you, like, you know, kind of like what every game means in the long run. And I thought that was the lesson that we learned from that, is that, you know, everyone counts, you know, And for us to withstand and, you know, or withstand, you know, a run by them in that third overtime and then have, you know, one of our players come and hit a clutch three to bring it into the fourth overtime. You know, those momentum swings really take you this way and that way. And I think one thing I learned from that game as a coach was, you know, the steadier I am in situations like that, the more my team just performs and feels the game and plays. So that was fun for me as a coach, as, you know, a young coach. And like you guys said, getting our first Ivy win together as a staff. But absolutely was amazing, you know, to come off of that and see us on SportsCenter and get that.
Made it more memorable.
So, for sure. For sure.
Meg Griffith, nice. The head women's basketball coach at Columbia. Best of luck this weekend. And Meg, we appreciate the time.
Thank you very much. You guys too. Have a great night.